I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he's on the Bucks beat for The Athletic and part of our expanded Bucks coverage here on The Fan. It is Eric Name. Eric, how are you this afternoon, man?
I know y'all miss me. I know that.
Every day you're not on the air, we miss you.
Can't wait to hear what you got from me this week.
Every day. Were you surprised? Now, granted, the grain of salt you should take this with is that Kawhi and a couple other good players didn't play for the Raptors last night. But how efficiently and smoothly Budenholzer's systems run, even without Giannis, the centerpiece, yesterday?
Yeah, honestly, I am. You kind of think about all the things that they've been preaching, and you know, it all sounds nice, right? Like you share the ball, you move around, you pass it, you get some screens. It all sounds nice. But you know, the thing that underscores any great team is they're super talented, and you took the most talented guy off the floor and they just kind of hummed along. And you just kind of think back to the games where Giannis missed last year. Middleton was awesome in those games. I mean, he was scoring like 44, like just going off. But they just pretty much gave him the ball and said, okay, save us, Chris. Let's see what you can do tonight, because our system is kind of based around Giannis, so we don't really know what else to do. You take a bunch of shots, and we'll see if we can win this game. And it was kind of the exact opposite last night. Middleton had 5 points at halftime. I think he'd only taken six shots in the first half. Like, it was very much a system-based win, and I hope there isn't some system-based quarterback kind of critique you could give to Giannis at some point. But, yeah, I mean, it was just kind of a system win. Ersan leads the way with 19, and, I mean, it doesn't even feel like that far out of the realm of possibilities that occurred. You're just kind of like, yeah, sure, bud system, it's in, it works.
You know, Eric, the other thing about this is I'm intrigued by how they're going to use – Thon Maker versus John Henson here going forward, because Thon Maker had another nice night last night. He always plays well against Toronto. I get that. But, I mean, Thon Maker's upside is still there. Henson already has his long-term deal signed and everything else. It'll be interesting to see how they use these both of these guys as far as minutes-wise moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of guys at the bottom of the roster that you're kind of thinking about as long-term assets. Because, you know, you look at the starting lineup, all those guys need contracts outside of Giannis. You look at Ersan, he's signed for a couple of years. You look at Henson, he's got that deal. You look at Dellavedova, he's got that deal. You look at Tony Snell, he's obviously got that deal, and now he's only playing 15, 20 minutes a night. So the opportunity for you to have true young assets kind of comes down to, you know, the last couple first-rounders. You look at Dante DiVincenzo this year, he seems to be doing well, and I think he's made himself a bit of an asset. Thon Maker from a few years back, can he do it? Can he help this roster kind of find some value at the bottom where, you know, if you need to make a trade, like, could that be an asset going forward? Sterling Brown's an interesting case. That was a guy that I really thought was going to fit into this system. He hasn't gotten many minutes. He hasn't been able to find his way up above Pat Connaughton, but you know, like when you look at Thon, that this is something that should fit him. He should be able to go out there and hit some threes and, you know, help spread the floor. But, you know, maybe it's going to be more about the other end. Like, can he find a way to be effective in a defensive scheme where he's not allowed to switch? Like, the best moments he's had as a defender have been these playoff series. So when you think against the Raptors, when you think against the Celtics, he's been switching a lot of stuff and going out and guarding Kyle Lowry or switching on to Jason Tatum or whoever it may be. Like, that's what he's been doing. And I think it remains to be seen if he can be a night-to-night contributor without being able to be real aggressive defensively. And last night was a night that he did that. Now, you know, he kind of needs to pile some of those up. And then, I mean, I think ultimately the best case scenario for the Bucks is that Maker finds a way to play himself into more minutes and play himself above John Henson, because he'd be more of an asset than John Henson. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe Henson needs to play his way out of town and you can trade him. I'm not really 100% sure, but, you know, like, you've got to find a way to get as much value out of this core as possible.
Talking with Eric Name of The Athletic here on the Wendy's Big Show. And I think that when Thon was inactive for the first couple of days, Eric, a lot of folks looked at it and they thought, well, did this guy somehow find himself in the doghouse already with Bud, or does he just not fit what Bud is doing? Budenholzer's line all along the whole time was that, no, he had some injuries in training camp and didn't get enough practice time and still working his way up to playing shape. Can we assume now that is the case, that there were no underlying issues with Thon Maker? It was just a matter of practice time and getting into game shape?
I wouldn't be 100% sure of that quite yet. And I think there is, I mean, at least in my mind, some thought that John Henson's strong start early has kind of hurt him. Because, you know, every time they put Henson on the floor, like he's kind of been hitting threes. He's been doing all those things. But the tough part is, you know, trying to figure out what is Henson. Are you just going to eat it? Because you're kind of eating that money with Dellavedova. So do you just eat it with Henson as well and go ahead with Thon Maker? But yeah, I mean, I don't feel as though Mike Budenholzer has been lying to our faces as we've asked these questions about Thon. Like, I do think he believes Thon can really be an active part of this and can help out going forward. But like I said, it's all on Thon. Like, he has to find a way to be effective in this system, because on the offensive end, it plays to his strength. On the defensive end, it doesn't really play to his strength. And as Boone knows, even though the offense is the thing that gets all the attention, this defense is kind of the thing that Mike Budenholzer is obsessed about his entire career.
Let's talk about Dante DiVincenzo, shall we? I mean, there haven't been many years, Eric, that I can think of where a rookie comes in for this Bucks team and contributes right off the bat 20 minutes a night and is a contributor immediately to this roster. It didn't happen hardly at all under Hammond. I mean, I guess you can look at Brandon Jennings to a certain degree, and Giannis wasn't right away. It's still, he wasn't a great contributor. He was out there, but it wasn't like this. I think that's a very impressive draft pick of Dante DiVincenzo.
It's crazy to me, really, when you think about to me, there were some questions about DiVincenzo, because you think back to his huge national championship game, their postseason run, and that was kind of what got him in front of Dickin, and then he plays well in the 5-on-5 at the combine, and then eventually it's decided that he'll stick in the draft. And it felt like one of those things where, you know, you have a strong postseason run and, you know, maybe some things just fell together for you and you stumble into the first round. And to me, that was some of the concern, because some of the underlying numbers, maybe he wasn't quite as good of a three-point shooter as some people wanted. He wasn't a great free-throw shooter in college. He played in the system with a bunch of other great players. Like, maybe all these things will kind of stack against him, and he'll be a guy that was overdrafted. And thus far, I mean, he's been putting in 20 minutes a night, and I don't want to make this sound offensive, but the team hasn't been bad with him on the floor. And that's typically the case with rookies. When rookies are on the floor, the team's probably going to be bad because the rookie doesn't really know what's going on. And to DiVincenzo's credit, there's been times where he's got danced on by a couple veterans. I know that Kemba Walker shook him in the first game to end the third quarter. J.J. Redick made him look silly a couple times in the last week. But for the most part, those things happen, and he finds a way to kind of make adjustments and find a way to make an impact and fly around and grab some rebounds or have a nice assist or a hockey assist. Like, he just finds a way to make plays. And I got to agree with you, Sparky. Like, that was a pick I was critical of. It was a pick that I was unsure of. And thus far, through seven games, he's making me shut up.
That was the pick I wanted, so I was very happy it worked out. Let me ask you this. Your brother over there at The Athletic, Michael Scotto, says the Bucks will exercise the team option on Thon Maker and DJ Wilson, The Athletic has learned. What do you see in DJ Wilson? Because I don't see much.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think this is to me kind of a test of what, I guess kind of a test of John Horst's will. Because, I mean, when you look at DJ Wilson, he hasn't really performed, and now he's struggled with injuries a little bit. I've heard whispers that, you know, they're really impressed with the work he put in during the offseason and, you know, kind of what he looked like during the preseason. But, you know, those are the kind of things you hear about guys that are maybe on the fence of getting their third-year option picked up as a first-round pick. So that wasn't necessarily surprising to me. But at the NBA level, he's proved literally nothing. I have the same questions you do. I will say that. Like, I don't really.
Did you like the pick when they made it?
Sparky, the first question I asked in that press conference was, hey, guys, one of the concerns with DJ Wilson, you know, has been, can he rebound? Is that a concern for you as you bring in a guy that's probably going to be a 4-5? You've talked about his switchability and, you know, what he can do there. Does that concern you? And Jason Kidd made a joke. He made a joke in response to that question. He said, well, he'll fit in well with everybody else that doesn't rebound this team.
Clearly that wasn't Jason Kidd's pick. Clearly.
Like, that happened on draft night, 15 minutes after they drafted him.
We were on location for the draft party, right? And my rule is for the draft party is I don't want any social media opened around me. I don't want to know the pick before it happens because I think it ruins it. Well, at least it ruins it for me. So we just react as it comes. And who was producing back here in the booth? Was it Mitch or was it Anthony? I don't know. Whoever was back here producing that night, I was like, I'm looking at who's available. I'm like, oh, they can't screw this up. There's like 5-6 guys here. I like all these guys. They're not going to screw this up. And whoever it was back here was laughing like, okay.
That was Mitch.
And Mitch.
Yeah.
And it comes
so I was
up,
laughing at home by myself. That's how I know.
And it came up and they said DJ Wilson. And I was just like, I have no idea. I mean, I didn't understand then. I didn't understand after I watched him in summer league. I didn't understand after his rookie year. And I still don't understand. So there you go.
So, I mean, when you kind of think about all those things, I was a Jared Allen guy going into that draft. That was kind of the pick that I thought made some sense there. But, you know, like when you think through that, like, so that happens on draft night, which, as you said, you know, maybe Jason wasn't the biggest fan, so that would suggest that was more of a John Horst selection. And, you know, that's his first-round pick. And, you know, we saw his mentor, John Hammond, punt on his first-round pick very quickly in Joe Alexander. So I was curious if John would be willing to do the same thing with DJ. It doesn't appear that he has until this point. But, you know, there's been rumors about DJ and whether or not they want him for the future. So part of me wonders, okay, maybe you do pick up that option, but really the reason you pick it up is you are looking to trade him. But I'm not really sure. Like you said, you don't see it. I don't see it with DJ Wilson, but you know, we haven't had a chance to be proven wrong by him thus far this season because he hasn't hit the floor yet.
Hey, Eric, we're late for a break, and this is admittedly a stupid question, so don't feel a need to waste a lot of time on it. Going back to Dante DiVincenzo, do we know how it came to be that he leads the pregame dance circle?
I believe it has been a responsibility instilled on any of the rookies
okay.
for the last couple of years. So
right.
those are part of rookie duties, but he's sure doing a heck of a job.
He's really good at it. He's really, really good at it. And you're really good at covering the Bucks for The Athletic Wisconsin. Also follow him on Twitter at Eric_name. And every Tuesday at about 3:48 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Always appreciate it, Eric. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk next week.
Sounds good.
He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval process from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our communities since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.